Taurus is not an affirmative force. It simply reoccupies the space vacated by the light.
This is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
And Urban Family Talk.
It should be uncomfortable for a believer to live as a hypocrite.
Delivering people out of the bondage of mainstream media.
And the philosophies of this world.
God has called you and me to be his ambassadors. Even in this dark moment. Let's not miss our moment.
And now, the Hamilton Corner.
Good evening. Welcome to this Monday edition of the Hamilton Corner here on American Family Radio and Urban Family Talk. And we have the full J-Squared contingent back in studio again. Mr. Reed to my left, the newest papa in the corner to my right. Looking like he needs a little bit of sleep. I wonder why. Mr. Tross, and we have Hannah in the screening room. And we are all ready to bring today's program to you. Well, I've been letting you all know as time develops. I guess let me say this, Jason, anything you want to say? Your first day back since the newest Tross has entered the world?
Man, I just feel blessed. I can't really say anything more than that. Thinking different, praying different. Just different.
Man, praise God, man. Well, I'm glad to have you back, but I'm ecstatic that the little one is here.
Oh, yeah.
The little one is here. So it is a great day to be here. And what I was about to say before Jason started talking was that tomorrow, August 28th, there are primary elections. Don't complain about the generals if you're not voting in the primaries. There are elections in Arizona, in Florida, there is a pretty important Senate race in Florida where you have Governor, I just forgot his name, Rick Scott, who's running against Ben Nelson in Florida. Rick Scott is a Republican governor running against Ben Nelson, who's a Democrat, United States Senator. That's going to be an interesting race to see how that shakes out. Most of you are aware during presidential elections, Florida seems to always be hanging in the balance, you know, a toss-up toward the end. And there also are primary runoff elections in Oklahoma. So Arizona, Oklahoma, Florida, their primary elections. Make sure we keep up with what's happening in our local areas so that our voices can be heard. Primary elections is where you can get the best bang for your buck. Many people complain about choosing between the lesser of two evils in general elections, but most of those people have not let their voices be heard in the primaries. So the fact that their election choices are minimized is probably a result of their own negligence. So I just want to make sure we understand that very, very clearly. And the reason why I can say confidently that most of the people who complain about general elections are not voting in primary elections, because primary elections vote turnout ranges anywhere between 3% and 8% of the turnout. And 8%, 8 to 10%, and on a very rare occasion, I'm talking about averages, that higher range of 8 to 10% only happens during presidential election years. So that you have more turnout because you have more people voting in presidential elections, but you still don't have the same number of people voting in primaries that you do in general elections. So let's make sure we are participating in these primary elections. Not just because I said so, because new Papa J. Tross said so. Now we will, as our custom, we will turn to the Word of God, as always, because the Word of God is to frame the way we think and the way we engage in life. We're going to be in Colossians chapter 2, verses 1 through 10, is where we're going to spend a little bit of time for the remainder of this first segment here. This is the Apostle Paul's epistle to the church that is located at Colossae. Colossae is a city in Asia Minor, the biblical times. Asia Minor is just modern-day Turkey. And I always like to share this type of information, even when I'm having conversations with my own family, so that we are able to understand biblical history in light of world history. We use timelines in my home to where events that are indicated in the scripture, we chart them on a timeline right next to events that have happened in world history. You know, and we do that so that especially our family will understand that biblical history is history, and it should be understood in that light. Okay, so Colossae is a city in modern-day Turkey. Modern-day Turkey also is the location where the seven churches in Revelation are mentioned, for example. So So when you think about that, when you see to the church at Laodicea, which we'll talk a little bit about that because that's in verse 1, to the church at Smyrna, to the church, you know, at Thyatira, these are real cities in modern-day Turkey. And it also should bring to bear that, wait a minute, modern-day Turkey. You know, if you were like me in high school, I learned Istanbul was Constantinople, but they never taught us how or why Constantinople became Istanbul, nor did they teach us how or why it became Constantinople to begin with. These are things I discovered on my own outside of school. I didn't talk about the Islamization of formerly Christian areas. How exactly did that happen? Well, the concept of jihad is not a 21st century idea. So you had this former Christian area that it was so thoroughly Christianized that these are churches that the Apostle Paul himself visited and planted churches there and labored and ministered. And then all of that was wiped out. How did that happen? That is why we have to do what the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians, for example, casting down vain imaginations, vain logismos that rises itself up against the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. But that is a worthy conversation to have with your own families. How did the cities of Thyatira and Sardis and Smyrna and Ephesus and Colossae that are all in modern day Turkey, how did Turkey become what it is today? How did it become overrun with Islam? These are worthy conversations to have. But anyway, get into the scripture. Verse 1 in Colossians chapter 2, it says this. I'll read through it, then I'll make some comments. It says this, for I want you to know. This is Paul writing to the Christians in Colossae. I want you to know how great a struggle I have for you and for those at Laodicea and for all who have not seen me face to face, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, to reach all the riches of full assurance of understanding and the knowledge of God's mystery, which is Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I say this in order that no one may delude you with plausible arguments. For though I am absent in body, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the firmness of your faith in Christ. Therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental principles of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him, the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you have been filled in him, who is the head of all rule and authority. I want to try to draw a couple points from this particular passage of scripture that I just read. First of all, when Paul says, for I want you to know how great a struggle I have for you and for those at Laodicea, Colossae was only 9 miles away from Laodicea. So when Paul is saying that, the people in the immediate audience that would have received this epistle, they know, oh, yeah, you're talking about that town across the way. You know, it's almost like me. It's not exactly 9 miles apart, but just go with me. Having grown up in New Orleans, if somebody would tell me, you know, I want to visit all of the people that I know in New Orleans as well as in Slidell, Louisiana. Everybody in New Orleans knows where they know where Slidell is. So it immediately brings to mind. Some of these people may have had family members in Laodicea, may have had friends or business acquaintances or others in Laodicea, so they would have known immediately what Paul was talking about. But then I want to go down a little bit further. When Paul says his statement about the knowledge of Christ and in Christ being hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, he then goes on to verse 4 and says, and I say this in order that no one may delude you. Or beguile you, is what the King James says. Beguile you with plausible arguments. The definition for plausible literally means superficially pleasing or persuasive. Another definition says appearing worthy of belief. The Apostle Paul is hitting on something that is critically important for believers to understand. Paul is writing this epistle to Christians in Colossae. He is saying that I'm telling you this information first and foremost about Jesus Christ so that you would not be beguiled by plausible arguments. Why would he say that? Because the potential exists, brothers and sisters. For those of us who follow the Lord Jesus Christ, if we do not remain in the position where Christ is supreme, to where Christ is preeminent, you will find that that is a consistent theme throughout the epistle to the Colossians, that Christ must be preeminent in all things at all times. Because the moment we allow Christ to be downgraded from his preeminence is the moment we subject ourselves to the potential for deception. The arguments that Paul is attempting to fortify the Colossian believers against are those plausible arguments. It's not those arguments that are wild, that are crazy, that are ridiculous. It's those arguments that are plausible that make you go, isn't that something? When we as believers find ourselves leaning in a direction, and that direction does not have Christ's preeminence at the pinnacle of a direction, we are leaning in the wrong way. We are leaning in the wrong way. Let me go on further. Paul goes further and says in verse 6, therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. That's such an important concept, because when most of us submit our lives to Jesus Christ, we do so under a revelation of our sinfulness and our lostness and our abject incapacity to meet anything without Jesus Christ. When we submit ourselves to him, we recognize, oh, Lord, we are lost without you. But something tends to happen as we get a little older in the faith. You know, my grandmother and my dad picked this up. You say, God, you're kind of smelling yourself a little bit, Chico. You know, you're smelling yourself. You think, oh, so you got it now, huh? As believers, we have to be very careful that we don't allow sedentary Christianity to set in, to where we think, oh, well, I can tell you what that is in the Hebrew. To where our Hebrew and Greek knowledge moves us away from leaning on the reliance of the strong arms that is Christ Jesus. Paul says, being rooted, him being our foundation, and built up in him. It's not enough to leave Christ's preeminence as if it is a kindergarten understanding, as if it's, you know, it's lower level Christianity to be so dependent upon Jesus. Foolishness. The more I learn, the more I know the Lord, the more I grow with the Lord, the more I know I don't know, the more I know how much I need him, the more I realize my absolute bankruptcy without him. He goes on, built up in him and established in faith, just as you were taught, and here's a key, this is an easily overlooked key, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. Isn't that amazing? Paul is literally saying one of the keys to fortifying ourselves as believers against deception is that we abound in thanksgiving, to where we are overflowing in expressions of thankfulness to our King. Because when we are less thankful, when thankfulness becomes less and less easily come by, we are moving in a position where we become self-absorbed and self-focused, to where the utter lostness, the utter depravity that we are without Jesus Christ becomes just a background feature. But one of the keys to being fortified against deception is that we abound in thankfulness. We abound in thanksgiving, that we do everything we do in this life in light of the fact that without the King of Glory, that I'm a wretch. How dare I say how much I deserve this promotion from my boss? Man, I don't deserve a thing. What I really deserve is hell. That's what I really deserve. But for the King of Glory. But for the King of Glory. When we are, again, just as we may be enticed to lean in the direction to where Christ's preeminency is reduced, when we are enticed to lean in the direction that cuts off our thankfulness and our thanksgiving, we are moving in a wrong direction. Man, that's disrespectful music. And then the Apostle Paul says, see to it that no one takes you captive. Notice the progression. Captive by worldly or human philosophy and empty deceit. Listen, the inability or the enticement against thanksgiving is like a lure to a fish, moving you to a place where you can be taken captive, to where the sum total of your worldview now consists of what? Human philosophy. And empty deceit, to where we exchange the unsurpassed greatness of the knowledge of God and his inerrant, all-powerful word that is alive, and we exchange that for the newest woke ideology, the newest woke phrases of the day, to where we now get our nomenclature from a news report. Folks, that is utter foolishness. And if we're not careful, we have found ourselves professing to be believers, but having been taken captive by worldly philosophy.
Freedom from unwanted attractions. I am Matt Staver with Freedom's Call. A new study confirms that counseling to reduce or eliminate unwanted same-sex attraction is very effective. Additional benefits included decreases in depression, substance abuse, and suicide. This type of counseling also increased the client's social functioning and self-esteem. More than two-thirds of the study's participants had significant shifts in their sexual attraction, identity, and behavior. These numbers are directly in line with other studies of general issues unwanted by clients. However, the left doesn't want you to hear this. California legislators have passed a new law that bans this type of counseling, and Liberty Counsel is fighting against it. People should have the freedom to receive the type of counseling they desire. Liberty Counsel is currently representing licensed counselors in Florida and elsewhere who are prohibited from helping clients struggling with unwanted same-sex attractions. Please pray and stay informed at Liberty Counsel's website, lc.org.
Who is God?
What's He like?
How can we know? Your answer to these questions will impact your worship, discipleship, apologetics, and evangelism. Learn from Ravi Zacharias, Josh McDowell, Chip Ingram, and more than 60 other speakers at Southern Evangelical Seminary's 25th Annual National Conference on Christian Apologetics. It's October 12th and 13th in Charlotte, North Carolina. Homeschool, skeptic, and group discounts are available. Pre-registration ends October 9th at ses.edu.
It's time to call your senators. We need to tell them to put an end to the Liberals' filibuster, switch to a majority vote, and defund Planned Parenthood. Call the Capitol Switchboard at 202-224-3121 or go to afaaction.net. Senators respond to constituent calls. So call 202-224-3121 and tell your senators to switch to a majority vote and defund Planned Parenthood. Your call will make a difference.
Brian Fisher here with today's Life and Liberty Minute. Can Donald Trump survive the storm that is engulfing him? There's a lot at stake here, since the president is the toughest bare-knuckle fighter we've ever had in the White House, and he's fighting for good things: the sanctity of life, religious liberty, a strong military, a secure border, and a vibrant economy. The regressive left hates him because they know that he poses the greatest threat to their agenda in a generation. That's why they are determined to remove him from office or cripple him. There's no one else in Washington, D.C. that they have any reason to fear. Just about the only defenders he has left are members of his base. For the sake of the country, let's hope and pray that will be enough.
Catch Brian Fisher on Focal Point, weekday afternoons at 105 Central on American Family Radio.
Shining light into the darkness, this is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio
and Urban Family Talk.
Welcome back to the Hamilton Corner here on American Family Radio and Urban Family Talk. And there is so much happening in the country. You heard about the travesty. There was the mass shooting in Jacksonville, Florida at the gaming convention that resulted in the unnecessary loss of life. You have things happening, you know, on the national stage. You probably won't hear much about this, but President Trump announced a reduction in federal funding for the Palestinian Authority / Hamas-led government of the Palestinian region in light of the Taylor Force Act. Many of you are aware, I hadn't talked about this in a while, though, but as it stands currently, the Palestinian Authority rewards successful terrorists who kill Jews by providing them lifetime stipends. And much of that budget is paid with U.S. taxpayer money because of our foreign aid. Well, President Trump cut that. And, of course, a lot of that is buried underneath a lot of the other things that the media wants to talk about. And then, of course, you have the announcement of a trade deal between the U.S. and Mexico. Many people said it wouldn't happen. And the express willingness of Canada to say that we want to renegotiate our deal too. I mean, all of these things are happening. It's amazing what's happening. But I'll get to maybe some more of those things later on in the week. I have something else that I feel like it's critically important to deal with. And it is a study that was released. And in fact, several reasons. This study was released back in June of this year. I have the date. I wrote the date down. Let me get it. Back in June of this year, June 26th, And one, I wanted to digest the details of the study and not just read the headlines about it. It's about a 30-page study. But also, I was interested to see if anybody else would cover this. It's an amazing study. And it's titled, I'll tell you the title of it, and then I'll talk the way I talk. But the title of the study is called, quote, Black Men Making It in America, The Engines of Economic Success for Black Men in America. Now, some of you are thinking, economic success? What are y'all talking about? And I'm going to ask a rhetorical question and use my own verbiage now. When you think about, and I'll borrow from my friend Lonnie Poindexter, Uncle Lonnie and Roy, our nation's capital. Hi, brother. Uncle Lonnie, when you think about men, specifically men with a darker paint job, that's not how Uncle Lonnie says it, men with a darker paint job, what image comes to your mind immediately? Just randomly. Don't say it out loud. I don't want anybody to get in trouble. But when you think about men with a darker paint job, what image comes to your mind immediately? And then the next question I want to ask is, why do you think that image comes to your mind? This study that I have in my hands, and I got you, if you're watching the live stream on the Hamilton Corners YouTube channel or on the Facebook live stream, you can see the study in my hand. It was put together by an organization called the American Enterprise Institute. I'm going to refer to them as AEI. The website is AEI.org. I encourage everybody listening to this program to go in and read the study and to see what it says. It's for yourself, for your own edification. Obviously, I won't be able to go through 31 pages of content in the time that I have in the program, but it's worth reading for yourselves. AEI is a public policy think tank dedicated to defending human dignity, expanding human potential, and building a freer and safer world. That's from their own website. They conducted this study, and I want to, before I dig into the study, I want to talk to you a bit about the methodology employed in the study, because this was not a study conducted overnight. In fact, this study began in the 1970s. What was done is the Bureau of Labor Statistics National Longitudinal Survey of Youth started a cohort study in 1979 where it followed 12,686 men, at that time, boys and young men with a darker paint job, to evaluate their financial progress over their lives in the United States of America. So this study that began in the 70s and the researchers culminated in 2014, and so AEI then compiled all the research, dug through all the research for those in following years, and they came out with this report from that research. But as a result of having compiled this research, again, that started in the 70s. That's important to note. Started with young men with a darker paint job, ages 14 to 22 is when it started, and followed them until they reached ages 54 through 62. Is where they are now. And they specifically wanted to see their financial accomplishment over that time period. And you want to know what the study found? Look, I'm just going to tell you right now, you ain't going to hear this anywhere else. I'm going to tell you. The study found, and I'm going to read from it. The study found that more than one in two men with a darker paint job, the number actually being 57%, 57% of men with a darker paint job have made it into the middle and higher class of financial achievement in America. The study divided the financial strata into three categories: the lower income or impoverished, middle class, and higher class. 57%, 57% of men with a darker paint job are in the middle class or the higher classes financially in America. Now, when I ask you that question about when you think about men with a darker paint job in America, what did the image that popped into your mind, that almost 60% of us are in the middle to the upper class financially? I may be going out on a limb here, but I don't think that's the image that most people got in their minds. So the question that I have, the rhetorical question to follow that, is why? Why is that? Why does there appear to be such a vested interest in the talking snake media to present an image of men that is not accurate factually. I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why very plainly. It's multifaceted. The primary reason is because many of those outlets are invested in the Saul Alinsky strategy of dividing the American populace into groups of haves and have-nots, as many different identity, political ideations they can develop, as many different groups they can segment society into, pitting one group against another is the greater chance they have at successfully manipulating the American populace and moving them in their direction. The second reason, I'm really going for the gusto here. The second reason is because the factors from this study that contribute to the financial successes in spite of the historical injustices that have ensnared our country. And I'm going to get into why I'm saying ensnared our country. Because the talking snake media would like to have you believe that the ensnaring is only for a small segment. But the reality is, when you destroy a segment of America, you are affecting all of America. As a family, as a father, if something happens to two of my children, it's impacting my entire family. It may impact the two immediate children who are directly confronted in a different way, but believe it, it's going to affect all of us. In the observations about what factors contributed toward the financial achievements of these men, of course, they made reference to work and work ethic, yes, but they went a little deeper than that. You want to hear some of the things? The study found that men with the darker paint job who served in our military are more likely than those who did not serve in our military to be in the middle or higher class financially. 54% of those who were in the military were in the middle or higher classes financially. 45% were not. You want some more? Sure, I'll give you some more. And this is another reason. The AEI study found that men with the darker paint job who frequently attended church services at a young age were more likely to achieve financially than those who did not attend church services. What to say that? What? You mean to tell me, in spite of all of the hand wringing and the broadside swipes at God's church, you mean to tell me that there's a financial benefit that results from people learning the Lord's principles at a young age? That's what the study found. That's not Abe's opinion. The AEI study found that the men who were church attenders at a young age, men who were reared in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, it had an impact on their wealth in their latter years. Could that be part of the reason why they don't want to talk about what contributes toward men with a darker paint job having financial success in this country? There's more. Another contributing factor that they found was that men with the darker paint job who got married and stayed married ended up having more financial liquidity. You like that word? A little financial term for you. Financial liquidity in their older ages. Now, so in addition to division, you probably don't hear too much about these kinds of studies because they reveal things that if you have this book that I just told you was alive, that I just told you we need to be wary of leaning on philosophies that exclude the preeminence of Jesus Christ, because if we do lean on those philosophies, we're setting ourselves up for delusion or deception and to be taken captive. These things communicate that, wait a minute, there's something to this God thing. The statistics even show that I have another article in my stack here from the Federalist that says the number one social justice imperative should be marriage. Because regardless of ethnic backgrounds, regardless of cultural backgrounds, regardless of skin color distinctions, that the thing that shows forward movement in terms of economic advancement is marriage. kind of reminds me about a Bible verse that says something about he that finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. The study found that men who marry have a greater understanding of initiative and self-agency, have a greater understanding and commitment to pursuing, pursuing objectives that benefit not only themselves, but for those who they care for. Now, all of this is not really news to those of us who read and employ the Word of God. But for to a world that would like to say that America is so, how shall I say this? That America is inexhaustibly racist, and that men with a darker paint job like me have no chance in America because of its prejudice history and its prejudice present, that there's nothing that can be done. Now, let me say this very clearly. Man, this time is going too fast because I have so much to say about this. Nothing in this study cuts against the fact that we know about America's historical injustices. I mean, one example I want to share is just an example from history. The post-Civil War and the Reconstruction era of 40 acres being allotted to the newly freed Americans. Man, I don't have enough time to go into this. I guess I'll start it. Well, many people are aware of the fact that under General William Tecumseh Sherman, who was a general of the Union Army, was Abraham Lincoln's general, that he issued Special Field Order 15. He did so in January, I want to get the dates right, January of 1865. Special Order 15 is what became what we commonly refer to as the allocation of 40 acres to the newly freed Americans. What many of us don't know is that the 40 acres wasn't William Tecumseh Sherman's idea. 4 days prior to Special Field Order 15 being issued, William Tecumseh Sherman and Edward Stanton, who was a Secretary of War at the time, met with 20 ministers with a darker paint job, all in Savannah, Georgia, into where Edwin Stanton and William Tecumseh Sherman asked them, what would you guys like in order to make sure that you are solidified going forward in the United States of America? And they were led by a minister. All of these 20 men were ministers, by the way, one by the name of Garrison Frazier. 11 of them had even been born free in America. Several of them lived free in Confederate states. 10 others were only emancipated with the Emancipation Proclamation. They told William Tecumseh Sherman and Edwin Stanton that we need places, land to build and raise our families. So Special Field Order 15 was an order following the Civil War that resulted in land that was confiscated from slave owners and those who had seceded from the United States of America and made a declaration of war against the United States of America. 400,000 acres of land was to be apportioned among the newly freed Americans, those who were in the North who had escaped, those who were in the South who were just emancipated, and so on. As an aside, after the order was issued, January 12, 1865, over 40,000 people migrated back down to the South in light of the grant of the 40 acres in Special Field Order Number 15. They set up their own governments. They had elected the equivalent of mayors and governors, and they began living on the land and farming the land and caring for the land. In fact, the Special Order Field Order 15 doesn't even include anything about a mule. The mule came into play when William Tecumseh Sherman saw how industrious the families were in farming the land, that they first allowed them to use the mules. And then ultimately, the Union Army allowed them to use mules. And ultimately, William Tecumseh Sherman ordered that they be given the mules to the families. Well, after Abraham Lincoln was assassinated and he was succeeded by Democrat Andrew Johnson, who rescinded Special Field Order Number 15, what I did not know, and many of you may not be aware of, that there are already thousands of people with the darker paint job living and thriving in the South at the time. But when Andrew Johnson The Democrat came in. He took the land back from all of these people.
When I first found out I was pregnant, I was surrounded by fear and disbelief. My boyfriend told me at the time to get an abortion. There was no negotiating.
This is the story of a young lady who decided to keep her baby after hearing her baby's beautiful heartbeat on ultrasound. The Ministry of Preborn provides ultrasounds for pregnancy centers across America for free. When an abortion-minded woman hears her baby's heartbeat on ultrasound, she's 80% more likely to keep her baby.
My son Rent turned 5 months this week, and even though there are still uncertainties in my life, the one thing I know is I get to watch him grow.
Your gift of $140 will cover the cost of 5 ultrasounds. All donations are tax deductible. To donate, go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com. Or dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 and say baby. Len Ingram of Redeem Clean felt God call him to support the American Family Association.
I'm a laundryman. I'm the son of a laundryman too. I love clean clothes. I love the business. I love everything about it. This project was built exclusively to support AFA and AFR. There's no strings attached. Another thing that I would like to see come out of this is that I would like to see other business people feel a calling to support ministries wherever and whatever they do to share the gospel of Jesus Christ.
In addition to your regular AFA giving, Redeem Clean Laundry Detergent allows you to increase your support of AFA just by continuing to wash your family's clothes. For clean laundry and support of a cleaner society, it's Redeem Clean. Learn more, find options, and get Redeem Clean products at afastore.net. That's afastore.net.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next. The Earth is about to blow up, and there's only room on the spaceship for 8 people. So who gets left behind? 7th graders at Roberts Middle School in Cuyahoga Falls, Ohio, were assigned the task of deciding that question. Kids had to choose between a list of 12 hypothetical people, 4 of whom would be left behind. Among the choices, a Muslim college student, a female movie star who had been sexually assaulted, an anti-gay Hispanic preacher, and a racist cop accused of using excessive force. You can read the entire list at toddstearns.com. Now, this is what identity politics looks like when you determine a person's value based on their sexuality or their skin color. I believe that all lives matter. But if I was forced to choose a person to leave behind, I would go with the propaganda-spewing left-wing school teacher. I'm Todd Starnes.
The Hamilton Quarter podcast and one-minute commentaries are available at AFR.net and UrbanFamilyTalk.com. Back to the Hamilton Quarter on American Family Radio and Urban Family Talk.
Welcome back to the Hamilton Corner here on American Family Radio and Urban Family Talk. We will open the phone lines this segment. The number to call if you want to be a part of the program is 888-589-8840. That number to call again is 888-589-8840. And as the callers are preparing their calls and their comments, I want to just close the loop on what I was sharing about the 40 acres and the mule scenario, where, as I stated, and I should have stated this more clearly, so special field order number 15 is issued by William Tecumseh Sherman, January 12, 1865. By June of that year, over 40,000 people have relocated to the South. Relocated to the South, and they began living. It's actually interesting to read. It has not only provisions concerning the acreage that would be used, but it also discussed how the local governments and all would be allocating things of that nature. So they not only have people living there, they've set up their local governments, and they're living and thriving. And it's after Abraham Lincoln is assassinated, Andrew Johnson succeeds him, and he gives the land back to the former slave owners. And the land was plantation land that had been taken, and the former slave owners and the very people who waged war on the United States to begin with. And so now you have these thousands of people who have relocated, many of them, to the South, who are now displaced. And following that displacement, you have the development of black codes. You have the reassertion of Democrat power in the South and the racist segregation laws and all of these things follow that. Now, the study I'm talking about from the American Enterprise Institute shows that in spite of all of that, we are living in a time now where men who were born, and I should have mentioned this too, these were men who were born in the 60s, and they were followed all the way through until the 21st century, to where now more than one out of every two, 57% of these men are in the middle or higher class financially. Folks, that is a testament to the goodness not merely of the individuals with a darker paint job, but a testament to what we are as American people. Soon after, and we know how intense it was, we know about the assassination of Dr. Martin Luther King and all of these things, and here we are. Here we are in the wake of all of that. We're at a place to where the overwhelming majority of men with a darker paint job are in the middle to upper class. The media doesn't want us to have these stories at the front of our minds. They don't want us to see this because this is the real America. This is what America's promise was in its founding, and this is what we're living in now. This is a testimony of what's available. And this is why I get very frustrated with the Republicrats that are in the Republican Party, quite frankly, because the Democrat Party has already committed themselves to identity politics and become the American Party of Socialism. That's a fact. But on the Republican Party, these are the types of communications that need to take place. I have another article right in front of me. It's followed another survey conducted by Guidance Financial, which showed from 2017 to 2018, there's been a 400% increase in the number of businesses owned by minorities in America. 400% in 1 year. Folks, this is what's available. This is what is possible in America. And I don't want anybody to get confined to recency bias. Add this into the study I just shared with you that started in the 70s. This shows the continued track of what happens and what's available here in America. So in spite of the history we have in our country, And I said it many times, America's original sin was slavery. And the second great national sin in America is abortion. But we have overcome those, and we've overcome that to get to where we are now in America. And this is also why I think it's critically important if the Republican Party wants to reach out to communicate the politics of hope and to show, listen, this is what's available. This is what's available. But all too often, we don't see that happening. And it's unfortunate. I have so much more I can say about this, but I know there are callers who want to get in on the conversation. I will begin in Virginia, where Shannon is on the line. Shannon, thank you for calling the Hamilton Corner. Welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me. How are you all today?
Doing very well, ma'am. Thank you for calling the show. What's on your mind?
Well, I just want to say that I praise God for you and your ministry, and I feel very called to listen to your program. I'm calling in because I was listening to your program, and it really caught my attention because you were asking us or talking about do not let anyone give you plausible,
yes,
reason to be dissuaded. Well, I guess you were referencing Paul's letter to the church,
yes,
members.
In Colossians, yes,
and
ma'am.
So my question is that I have been struggling with an illness, mm-hmm, well, with a condition called papilledema, which is fluid behind your eye. My vision, if you know anything about it, which I really didn't because I had relatively normal vision, went from like 20/25 to about 20/100. And, of course, I had it, but, I was eating crazy food. You know, McDonald's, all the bad things. So I didn't care. I was letting medicine manage it until 2017, had a surgery, still didn't care, gained more weight. So now it's just really bad. And so what happened, I was looking at YouTube and I was just feeling so down and I stumbled across the Daniel fast. Mm-hmm. So I turned from it again. Then I found it twice, but I found Dr. Axon. He was referencing it, but he quoted scripture. So my point is to you, and my question is to you, the doctors keep telling me I need to take this medicine and get a surgery to lose weight. And I've lost from 320 to 285, well, 330 to 285, and take this medicine that I feel like is making me sicker. How do you know when, because I know, I just don't feel like in my heart that it's right for me to keep at least taking this medicine.
I'm sorry, I had to jump in there, Shannon. Thank you so much for your call and your comments. First and foremost, let me say this. God works through medical practitioners. So we definitely don't want to ignore the counsel of the wise counsel of medical practitioners. I also am very confident and know that the Lord is a healer, but the Lord speaks to us through his word and through wise counsel. So I would encourage you to include and to seek both. Thank you very much for your call and your comments. We'll go next to Louisiana, my home state, where Kevin is on the line. Kevin, thank you for calling the Hamilton Corner. Welcome to the program.
Mr. Abraham Hamilton, sir,
yes, sir,
if you had 5 cents in the bank, you and your family would be the richest person on earth. You are. You have a wonderful heart, and you follow God so greatly, and I love you.
Thank you for those kind words, Kevin. Thank you. Thank you very much. Go right ahead.
I would just like to also state that I believe that every young man in the United States should at least go in for the first 4 years into the military, because it does teach them so much. It teaches them humility. It teaches them honesty. It teaches them respect for themselves. So when you did those studies, yes, that's obviously a great gain. And I just wanted to say that the United States military is a good way for young men to get all those, the disciplines and stuff that they need to be successful in life. And I'm not going to take any more of your time, sir. I love you. I love your show. And God bless you so much, sir.
All right, Kevin. Thank you very much for your call and your comments. And it's interesting. It's interesting that in Israel, military service is mandatory. Every adult, when they matriculate to adulthood, I believe at age 18, they have to serve at least 2 years in the Israeli Defense Forces. So that is an interesting concept. And now I'm not arguing or advocating for that to happen here in America. But again, here you have many of the people who would argue that they are concerned about the plight of men who happen to have darker skin color. They are also very, very virulently anti-military. And the study is showing that, and now I want, maybe that's an overstatement of anti-military, but let me say that maybe they aren't as open to encouraging people around them to pursue careers in the military. But according to this study, military service is also something that benefits and contributes toward long-term financial viability. So that's something just simply to take into consideration. Now we'll go back to the phone lines. Next we'll go to Tennessee, back to Tennessee, where John is on the line. John, thank you for calling the Hamilton Corner. Welcome to the program.
Brother Abraham, I appreciate you for letting me on your program, and you're just an absolute blessing. I'm going to tell you for sure. Man, you get me all pumped up. I just wanted to add this, that you're talking about the black people having a great future in America and everything. And I'm going to read from a magazine.
What magazine is it?
Oh, I can mention. I was told not to do it.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Oh, yeah. Don't mention it. No, don't mention it.
Everybody would know it's Business Magazine. It says the American dream is alive and well on Wall Street thanks to Robert Smith, the richest black person in America, who has figured out a way to re-engineer both private equity and enterprise software and use this secret playbook to build a $4.4 billion business. And I wanted to bring that out, and I just thank God that we live in a country that everybody can become something.
Amen. John, thank you very much for your call and your comments. I mean, folks, that is the bottom line. You have lots of people that want to attribute issues as if one group of people, because of their skin color, they have a corner on the market on a particular type of sin. When I say foolishness to that. The reality is prejudice based on skin color is something that is cultivated in the human heart. Partiality, which I think is a far more biblical way to describe it, and shout out to Will Addison, who who brought that out very clearly, as it's taught in the book of James. Partiality is a better description, and partiality is something that develops between human beings in a fallen, sinful state. I mean, I always say the beginning evidences of human oppression starts when Cain killed his own brother. That's oppression. You don't get much more oppressive than murder, right? Why was he murdering his brother? Because he knew God perceived him one way, and he didn't like the way God favored his brother over him based on his foul worship. Because of his low estimation for the Lord viewed his worship lightly. Cain didn't like that. So now what happens? There's a distinction between Abel and Cain. You might call Abel, well, he has the privilege, the worship privilege. He has the worshiper's privilege. And I think he should check his privilege at the edge of the garden. And I don't think he checked his privilege the right way. So you know what? I'm going to take him out. And he slays his brother with a rock. You see the proliferation of that all throughout human history. And again, what I am iterating here is not that this study means there's no such thing as ethnocentric partiality, skin color-based prejudices. I know there is. But the core root cause of that is sin. Not skin, which is why all over the world, all throughout human history, most of us don't even realize that slavery was not even a unique event because it occurred in the American country, which was started under the British, but the British were one of the earliest to abolish it. The thing that's unique is the worldview that led to its abolishment, its abolition. But prior to the transatlantic slave trade, the precursor to it was the trans-Saharan slave trade, where you had Muslim slavers trekking people across the Saharan desert. And even before that, and even contemporaneous to that, you had other places. I said before, one of the largest slave markets in human history was in China. And people normally enslaved those who were closest to them. The whole skin color thing was a latter feature of slavery that was somewhat relatively unique to the West. But slavery wasn't unique. And an interesting fact as well is that when slavery was being abolished in the West as a result of a Christian worldview, frankly, places in the East resisted abolition. The British, after they abolished slavery, they used their vast naval fleet to police the high seas to keep other countries from continuing slavery, slave trading, or better described, man-stealing from the African continent. You don't hear any of the woke folk talking about that, how the Britons use their own money, spending money, not benefiting their own nation, to prevent other people from stealing men and women from Africa and transporting them around the world. You never hear about that because it doesn't fit the popular narratives. The bottom line is what I'm saying, based on this study, is that the American Enterprise Institute is showing that in spite of the record that we have in this nation of injustice, slavery, segregation, that our nation is able to overcome it. And the reason why I say our nation is that when Americans with the darker paint job succeed, that blesses and benefits all America. Don't you realize that when you have people with the darker paint job that are moving in financial strata, in financial viability and mobility, that results in having more revenues that flow into the federal government's coffers with tax dollars? That ability to have bridges and highways and other things are impacted by that. It's a blessing to the entire nation to have people in our nation to be blessed. And all I'm saying is that we probably should turn off the Talking Snake Media's presentation of what they expect men with a darker paint job to be, because according to the facts and the statistics, those images are a lie.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.